The title of our message tonight from Acts 13 and 13 is Prejudice and Bad Choices. Prejudice and Bad Choices. 13 and 13, and we're going to read this from the Greek, and that's the only verse that we're going to have in the book of Acts in this message. Anna Thantos de apo tes paphu hoi peri paulon elton ace pergain tes tom filius Ioannis de apo corisos apo auton hipo strepso ace Jerusalem. This is the story of a boy, a young man. We're going to use this one verse here. But it means a lot. John Mark, now I was remembering one time when I was at Valley Baptist Church for 20 years, teaching. And I was teaching, I believe, from the Gospel of Mark, and we were talking about John Mark. And John means dove, and Mark means dried out. So that's a dried out or a dove jerky, so to speak. We're kidding about that. We're talking about John Mark. And having set sail from Paphos, the ones going with Paul, they came to Perga of Pamphylia. John and that one departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. That's a short little message about John Mark. Now we find out that John Mark was having trouble with life among the Gentiles. John Mark was a strict Jew, so to speak. His mother was Maria, or Mary, and his mother and he lived with his mother, and they supported the apostles and many church members in their lives. Tell you a little bit about John Mark. Now let's read this from the Amplified Bible quickly, also. Verse number 13. Now Paul and his companions sailed from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John Mark separated himself from them and went back to Jerusalem. He separated himself from them, and he returned. He hypokoreo, he departed and separated himself from them. Why? Why did John Mark leave? Well, he was trained in Judaism. And the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, now Barnabas was John Mark's cousin. He was older than he was, but he was his cousin. He was his hero, basically. And Paul and Barnabas had trouble later on over Mark. And Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him again, and Paul said no. Mark was an important character in the Bible. He wrote the whole Gospel of Mark. The Gospel according to Mark was written by John Mark. But it was written by John Mark through Peter's eyes, as Peter saw things. Now, it says that John Mark went back to Jerusalem. What's in Jerusalem? What was in Jerusalem? The Jews. His prejudice, I believe, was his biggest problem. He went back to Jerusalem and began rubbing elbows again with Peter and the apostles and James. And when Peter went down into the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, when he went down to Caesarea and took an embassy from the church there on the Mediterranean Sea. They went down and a bunch of the whole household and the friends of Cornelius were saved. This Gentile centurion. But he was a believer. Before God could use Peter to go down to Cornelius' house, he had to give him a vision, and he gave him the vision three times. Peter was prejudiced. Let's go back and look through Peter's eyes and see how that God dealt with him, Jesus dealing with him. That an angel appeared unto him. Peter was on the housetop there, and he was hungry. And he could smell the food cooking. He could just taste it in his mouth. He was so hungry. And God gave him a vision. A hypnotic trance, so to speak. And from the heaven, it said, from the heavens came down this tablecloth, sheet type affair, from four corners, and it sat down there. And it came down to Peter, and the angel told Peter, arise and slay and eat. Now on that tablecloth, on that great sheet, were unclean animals. Maybe lobsters, clams, crawdads, shrimp, camels, pigs. Whatever was on that, we don't know, but they wouldn't know that they were unclean animals. Creeping, crawling things and beasts. Things that he couldn't eat. And he said, arise, slay, slaughter, and eat. And Peter said, no, not one unclean thing ever crossed my lips. Nothing unclean ever crossed my lips. And what did God tell Peter? What God has cleansed, do not call unclean or common. Again, the tablecloth was set down with all of these unclean creatures on it. And God said again, arise, slaughter, and eat. Peter said, no. And again, the third time, God does things in threes. He made triune man. God is triune. Now he uses three things to get control of Peter here, get his bad choices and his prejudice out of the way. Again, he says to Peter, arise, slaughter, and eat. And then the angel tells him, there's an embassy of man right outside. They're coming from Caesarea. And there's a man there. I want you to go and I want you to preach the gospel to him. By the way, he's one of them unclean things. He's a Gentile. So he went there and met with Cornelius, and ate with Cornelius. This is terrible. Terrible. He ate with Cornelius. He went under Cornelius' roof. No Jew would do that. When Jesus was being tried by the high priest, Pontius Pilate had to go out to them. They would not walk to Pontius Pilate because he was a Gentile, unclean. Yet they were murderers and liars and perjurers and everything else, and Pontius Pilate wasn't. Five times Pontius Pilate announced that Jesus was innocent. And by the way, five is the number of grace in the Bible, isn't it? Five times Pontius Pilate said that Jesus was innocent. He finally told them, he brought out a basin of water, he washed his hands, and he said, I am innocent of this man's blood. And they said what? Let his blood be upon us and our children. And it has been all these years. God uses fragile vessels and broken vessels and all types of vessels to bring about his will. And sometimes even evil people like Hitler. One person does make a difference in our lives. John Mark left them. He went back to Peter in Jerusalem. And he went back there and cleansed himself from all the Gentile associations. When Peter went to Jerusalem after Cornelius and his household was saved and a church was founded there. We have the first Gentile church there in Caesarea. He goes back to Jerusalem and he tells them he has to make an excuse for what he did because they were prejudiced and they were making bad choices. And they said, "It shocks us, Peter, that you went into a Gentile's house. You being a Jew." Well, he says, God had to send me three visions. And he tells them about the three visions. And he says, "What? Don't you call unclean what I have cleansed." And he told them this, these people, these Jews, about these Gentiles being saved. Gentiles being saved. He had to make excuses for what he did. Well, God wanted me to do this. Now, John Mark was out there and a lot of Gentiles were being saved. They were going to synagogues, of course, but there were Gentiles being saved. I hope to do a series on characters in the Bible. Women and men. By the way, women. I know you'll say, "How about the women?" Marilyn will say, "How about the women?" Sharon will say, "How about the women?" Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to do about the women too. Now there were women in Cornelius' house that were saved. In John, the fourth chapter, there was one woman there. A Samaritan. And the Jews looked upon the Samaritans as half-breeds and Gentiles, basically. And this Samaritan woman came out there to the well, Jacob's well, and she's going to draw water. And Jesus there, and he's very thirsty. And you know this story, but I will recite it to you again. Jesus says, "Could I please have a drink of water?" And she says, You being a Jew, you ask of me, being a Samaritan, which the Jews hated, to give you a drink of water? Why, if I touch a Jew's cup, he would throw it away and burn it. If I came and brushed against one of them, they would wash their clothes or burn them. And you're asking me, a Samaritan, to give you a drink of water? And what did Jesus say to her? If you only knew who I am, you would ask of me to give you water, living waters, running waters, that you would never have to draw water again. And she says, he told her, go get your husband and bring him with you. And she said, well, the man that I'm with right now is not my husband. And Jesus said, yes, you've had many husbands. And the woman that you're living with, or the man you're living with right now, is somebody else's husband that is living with you, or you're his concubine or whatever. And she was shocked. And she says, oh, you must be a prophet. Now I have something to ask you, prophet. We worship God here on this Mount Gerizim. And you Jews up there in Jerusalem, which one of us is right? What does God want me to do with my life? Shall I continue to worship here, or should I be a convert, a proselyte? And Jesus told her, you do not know the will of God. We do. But, strong adversative conjunction, but comes a time, and now is, when people will worship God not in a place, but in spirit. Oh, and she's shocked. She falls back and she says, well, we know when Messiah comes that he will tell us all things. And you know what Jesus told that woman? I that's talking to you now am Messiah. And then she ran off. She was happy. And she ran off the town and brought back many people, the whole town, with her. And they were so surprised because she was a unclean vessel. And when the Jews came back, when the Jewish brethren, the church, came back to Jesus, they looked at him. He says, did you talk to that woman? Prejudice and bad choices. Did you talk to that woman? Why, Jewish rabbis would say they couldn't even speak to their wives in public, let alone Jesus talking to this dog, this loose woman of doubtful character. They were so shocked that Jesus had spoken to her. But he spoke to her the words of life. John Mark went back to Jerusalem. A person is, I wrote this little proverb down a long time ago, this little prescription. A person is the product of all of his experiences and how that he has reacted to them. A person is the product of all of his experiences and how he has reacted to them. I wrote that back in 1970. I learned that that is very true. John Mark was being molded. John Mark went back to Jerusalem, and guess what? John Mark was filled with the Word of God from old Peter. And he was so filled with the Word of God that the Holy Spirit of God caused Mark to write down Kata Markon, the Gospel according to Mark. He made mistakes. Mistakes are effective teachers if we listen. Sometimes you have to go around and around and around and around the mountain. The same time, the same pathway. You get lost out in the woods of life. And you have to find your way out. Right over here, probably 20 miles from here, is Truman Meadows. And my friend, lifelong friend, he's gone now, Gary Harwell, went up in there in that area, and he stayed for 2 days lost, deer hunting. Now, Gary had a large appetite, naturally. But he finally found his way out of there and back to his automobile and everything else, and he headed down to Bishop, California, which is 69 miles that way, over the hill. He went down there and he went in Jack's Waffle Shop and he ordered 2 large T-bone steaks with the salads and the bread and the soup and everything else that comes with them. He said, don't leave anything off. Bring me 2 of them. He was hungry. 2 days he'd been lost. And just had a little snack or two when he got back. He went out and he sat there and he ate all 2 dinners and then a dessert. He was hungry. He was lost, but he found his way. Sometimes we get lost in life, don't we? We just wander out there in the wrong place, make wrong choices. Mistakes are effective teachers. The consequences of these bad mistakes and decisions become painfully clear to us in our lives. There are those who learn from their mistakes and those that are wallowing in their mistakes. One thing that we all need is encouragement. Marilyn, my wife, was very discouraged all of her life by her parents and abused tremendously. She never had one word of encouragement. She got a scholarship to Pepperdine University and they wouldn't let her go. Then she went to business school on her own for how many, 2 years?
3 years.
3 years. And had to only go half a day because she had to go home and do her mother's housework because her mother didn't do anything except sit around and point her finger and tell somebody what to do. She got a job down there and became executive secretary at Bell Telephone in Los Angeles, and they made her quit her job and become a farmhand. When she was very young, I'm looking at a picture right there that she painted when she was very young. 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Wonderful artist. When Marilyn and I got married, she was in terrible shape with post-traumatic stress disorder. She could not sleep. All of our 20-something years together, I've encouraged you, haven't I? Mm-hmm. She said, I can't do it, I can't do it. Then that's her patent statement, I can't. And I say, yes, you can't. And you do, don't you? You can do it. She became a ham radio operator. She loved, but always wanted to shoot. And I took her to shooting classes, and I took her hunting. And she had a concealed weapon permit. And she became an artist. I have over 20 paintings that she's done here because of encouragement. Encouragement. Bad choices and mistakes and prejudice. I sent her to an art class. Lynn Jelicich was a teacher. And she did a couple of paintings there. And I asked him personally, I said, well, how is she? And he smiled at me and he says, there's not much I can teach her. She is natural. She's a natural. And you've done that. And you've done commissions. You won first places at the Kern County Fair. And one painting here is Judge's Choice, Best of Show, Blue Ribbon, Grand Champion. And I forgot what else. Everything that you could have won, you did it with that painting. You needed encouragement to do it. Mm-hmm. And in the last couple of weeks, you know, she was dying. I took her to the doctors, and the doctors told me, well, she's not going to live very much longer. If she does everything right, maybe a few months. It's in God's hands. Now, we can help you a lot if you put her on hospice. And I said, no, I'll take care of her. And I did. She's up cooking things and washing dishes and cleaning. She sat and slept for months. Through a strict diet, which I get in trouble with sometimes, don't I? I'm trying to make you hold to your diet. Through a strict diet and medication and care, you've turned around because you were encouraged. You were encouraged. When I took her to the hospital in Bishop, I said, she's going to die. And when they got there, I said, yes, she's dying. I said, can you save her? I said, don't do anything. Don't spare anything. Don't ask me what decision I want to make. I said, fix her. And they said, we'll do our best. But there's not much hope. encouragement. Her atrial fibrillation has settled down dramatically. Congestive heart failure is under control. She's on oxygen, and I try to encourage her every day, even when it gets me in trouble. John Mark was a person that needed encouragement. Now, the Bible mentions him in 2 Timothy 4:11, Acts 12:23 through 13:13, and Acts 15:36 through 39, in Colossians 4:10, 2 Timothy 4:11, Philemon 24, and 1 Peter 5:13 in the Bible. This one man that Paul rejected. Paul was prejudiced toward Mark because he left and went back to Jerusalem. And Paul made a bad choice. A bad choice. Paul, in one of his verses that he wrote, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." In 2 Timothy 4:11. Paul and Barnabas split up because Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him and Paul refused. Because he didn't want to give Mark another chance. He didn't want to give him another chance. Paul was a very strict idealist. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. How God took a prejudiced Jew and made him the apostle to the Gentiles. The one that didn't want to have a shadow of one of them fall upon him. That hated Jesus. That hated the apostles. That hated Stephen as they stoned him illegally there at Stephen's gate. And Paul the apostle gave the signal and administered the decision of the Sanhedrin to murder him without Roman assistance. And as Stephen was dying, he says, "I see Jesus standing at the right side of God." And then the last thing he said, you remember what he said, Marilyn?
Stephen,
the last thing he said, the last words, he says, "Father, do not attribute this sin to them because they are ignorant. Receive my spirit." And Paul heard those words. And that prayer was answered. Stephen wasn't prejudiced. Even those that were murdering him at that time, he prayed for them. And one was a great man of God with the Apostle Paul. He was Saul at that time. Now Saul made a bad decision here when Barnabas wanted him to go with him again. What did Mark do? Well, he wrote the Gospel of Mark. He and his mother provided their home as one of the refuges and meeting places for the Christians in Jerusalem. He persisted and followed God beyond his prejudice and mistakes. He was an assistant and a missionary in training and a companion to all, especially Paul, to all of the apostles. He watched Jesus being arrested. He ran away. Many people think the young man that ran away was John Mark. He knew Jesus. He left Paul and Barnabas for unknown reasons. Well, I think what the unknown reasons is, he was prejudiced. through maturity, through mistakes and errors, the combination of time and repentance. The mistakes many times that we make are not important. That's what we can learn from them. Effective Christian living is not measured by what we accomplish, but what we overcome to accomplish what we accomplish. Not by what we accomplish, but what errors, what mistakes, what we fight in doing, what we do when we accomplish something. Encouragement can change a person's life. Kenneth Merriman. She can sleep all night now like a log. When we got married, I couldn't hardly sleep for her crying and screaming in her sleep. Like she'd been in war for all of her life, and she had been. How many years did it take you before you could fall asleep? You didn't even know you were having these terror dreams. You wake up, you still wake up with your mother beating you or doing some cruel thing to you. The panic that you had in your sleep. John Mark lived in Jerusalem, the hotbed of Judaism. It took him a while to overcome it. Paul wrote Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians to tell the Jews, straighten up. Whoever the writer of the book of Hebrews was, wrote the book of Hebrews to tell the Hebrews, quit going back to that dead religion and come to the life of Jesus Christ. Prejudice and bad decisions and mistakes, errors. The relatives of John Mark were his mother Mary and Barnabas. They were his companions. His contemporaries were all of the church members. And by the way, the word okloes and okloi means 10 to 20,000 people followed Jesus. That was a mega church, people. And John Mark was part of it. John Mark saw all of this. Paul said at last, only Luke is with me, his personal physician. Get John Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. John Mark overcame. John Mark overcame his prejudice. John Mark overcame his bad decisions. And John Mark wrote the gospel according to Mark through Peter's eyes. John Mark persisted and followed on and persevered beyond his youthful mistakes. He became a very needed companion to Paul when Paul had rejected him. One time Marilyn got upset with me because there was a person that was really ridiculing me and persecuting me. And he was a brother in Christ, and I said, well, we just have to forgive him, didn't I? I forgave him. And later on in life, he says, you've always been faithful to me. I cannot say that I was faithful to you as a friend. Yeah. I loved him, even though he was wronging. I have loved many people that have wronged me in my life. We love them because the Lord loves them. We are not perfect, are we? we're all fragile vessels. John Mark was a fragile vessel. We're all liable to mistakes and error in our lives. But God looks at us as if we're already glorified with Him beyond all of our mistakes, beyond all of our life's bad choices. He looks at us and says, "Do not call common or unclean that which I have cleansed." Now, if you're out there tonight and you heard God's word and been encouraged by it, I hope. I don't know if you're saved or lost. God will save you if you'll just repent of your sins and call upon Him and believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior and God the Son, that He died on the cross for you, that He was buried and raised again. He died for your sins and was raised for your justification. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation at all. None whatsoever. Sometimes we have to look beyond the person, don't we? Jesus looks beyond us. He looks beyond our sins. And He says, "You are forgiven." I'm going to do a message on a man that was very important in history. Oskar Schindler. Oskar Schindler was a German industrialist. He started a factory of enamelware in Poland. He employed somewhere around 1,000 to 2,000 Jewish people off and on. He had a heart. He did everything he could do to keep his workers from going to the gas chambers and being killed. He threatened soldiers, said, "You kill one of my people, you'll go to jail, you'll go to prison, and I'll get paid. You don't kill one of my people. You don't walk into my factories on the factory floor. Stay out." He employed rabbis. He employed women. He employed one-armed men. Disabled men and women. When they were going to be shot in the head or sent to death camps. And when it was all over, when the war was almost ended, he made a tremendous amount of wealth. And for 1,200 of Schindler's Jews, he bought their freedom, basically, from the gas chambers. He took them to a factory that he was going to build. And he saved their lives. He gave them another chance. Some of those Jews were so prejudiced to him, they wouldn't shake his hand, they wouldn't have a drink with him or eat in his presence. Mm-hmm. He was a Nazi. But that Nazi, in 1975, I believe it was, or 76, Oskar Schindler died in 1974, I believe. 66 years old. He was a Catholic. After the war, those Schindler Jews supported him for the rest of his life, off and on, bailing him out of bad decisions and bankruptcies. They had a fund, Schindler Jews, and they took care of that man because they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. He saved their lives. And on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, in the Catholic cemetery, is Oskar Schindler buried. He and his wife, the Jews, the Schindler Jews, called them the righteous Gentiles, the righteous of the Gentiles, righteous ones. It cost him everything he had made to buy those Jews out of the death camps. And they didn't forget it. They didn't forget it, even though he was a dog, a Gentile dog. Beyond the prejudice. We're having a lot of trouble with blacks in the world today after the fellow was killed by the officers. All kinds of commotion. And it was, the man was a criminal, but they killed him. The greatest prejudice in the world today are the blacks against everybody else and the Jews against the world, people. If you want to see the most prejudiced people in the world, it's blacks and Jews. But God died for them too. Most of those blacks are in missionary Baptist churches. And this is Discover the Word Missionary Baptist Church. Some of my most valued friends are blacks. And they look upon it just like I do. Because there is a tremendous amount of prejudice out there in races. They're having all kinds of commotion and riots all over. Because this man is killed. But they're rioting, stealing, and looting for an excuse. That man's family said, don't do this. Remember him. Don't loot and kill. And that, you know, this is all the problem. Areas and cities have been taken over by looters because of prejudice. Prejudice. Look upon a person as a soul, not black, white, yellow, or red like me. I have dealt with prejudice all of my life, one way or the other. My own mother didn't love me. She gave me away to my grandmother. That's rejection, people, just in case you don't know it. I loved her all of her life. She told me a couple of times that she's sorry she didn't love me like she loved my sister. It was hard being rejected. Prejudice and mistakes and bad choices. My mother made a bad choice supporting my derelict sister all of her life until the time of her death. My mother finally said that woman was bad all of her life. And I said, yes, she was, Mom. She used you and robbed you. Bad choices. She trusted the wrong people. Marilyn had a cousin that she loved very much, Bob. And he trusted the wrong people. And he lost his life. I told him, I said, make Marilyn your conservator. He would have lived a lot longer if you'd have been his conservator. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing you met me, girl, because you wouldn't be here, would you? Mm-hmm. Your family wanted what you had, even though you didn't have a lot. They wanted all of it. It's free. Just get rid of her. Well, they tried to get rid of me too. Prejudice. God is a God of second chances with all of us. God gave me many second chances, third and fourth and fifth and tenth and twentieth and thirtieth chances in my life. I've been so close to death so many times. It's hard to be afraid of. God loves you, people. Trust in Him. Trust in His guidance. Let Him be your God and let Him be your Savior. And let Him be the King of your life. And let him be on your throne. Father, we send this message out for you, for your people. Help me to feed them and glorify you. Father, thank you for the blessing. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for watching and looking over our sins and our shortcomings. Father, thank you for the chance to serve you once and once and once more again. Use this message, I pray, for your honor, for your glory, and touch lives.